You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Drywall in the background.
Really? Yeah. I mean, Ben varies his backgrounds. I'm trying to figure something out for this weekend just to make it more like college sports, I guess, themed, maybe, you know. Yeah. Put a banner or two back there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I wish I had all my old pennants from when I was a kid.
Yes. That used to be all over, because I'm still at home in Richmond right now. That used to be all over my room, and my parents took them out like when I got older. So yeah, that's gone now. All right, let's see here. Let's see if Bet Online has any odds for the conference tournaments before we start this. Guys, this website, Bet Online, is a joke. I mean, it is the interface is so bad.
It's not my favorite.
No, but FanDuel is amazing.
Yeah, we don't in Oklahoma. We don't have access to.
That's right.
Betting. So,
are you guys putting money on Iowa State?
I haven't seen the spread, but if it's within 7 or 10, I'm probably gonna roll with Iowa State.
Yeah, Oklahoma's fucking. Let's see.
Don't tell anybody I said that.
Let's see here. Conference tournaments. Oh, they do have odds. Let's see here. Big 12. All right, Baylor's a favorite. They have Kansas as the second favorite. That's interesting. Let's see. So do you guys want to, I mean, I can lead it, I guess, cause I'm the main Big 12 person. So, yeah, you know what I mean? Just cause I guess, yeah. And we can just kind of go through it. Can we first touch on the all conference stuff that was today? I think that's a good place to start. Not sure if you guys saw that first team all conference came out, coach of the year, player of the year, hit that first. Then we'll just talk about the bracket. I want to touch on Texas Tech and Texas, because I'm not sure if you guys remember this, but that was the game that was going to get played last year on Wednesday or Thursday, right when everything shut down. Like it was like, you know, like hours before that game happened that it got shut down. And that was a huge game too. Cause that, like, you know, I mean, Chaka had to shave it. Chaka was basically trying to save his job there.
Sure.
And then, you know, Tech obviously showed me the tournament too. So yeah. We'll just keep, you know, we'll keep it light as we always do. Sound good?
Sounds great. Let's make a good video and post it somewhere.
Me in the Miami basketball shirt of the Locked On Big 12 podcast. Like,
yeah, you're Kane's basketball shirt.
Dallas Cowboys signing Dak. How do you feel about that, by the way?
I'm super excited.
I love Dak. I love Dak.
Yeah. You know, people want to nitpick his game, but he's got like, it's to me, he's more than just what he like. The ability. I mean, I think he's got really good to great ability, but it's all the intangibles that go with Dak.
A good leader too. Just an amazing leader. Yeah, I remember when I was in college, so I think it was a freshman or sophomore, they played us at Mizzou on Thursday night, driving rain, and he just lit us up. And I was like, this guy, he's going to be good. I mean, he's just, yeah, I love him so much. Even though he's a cowboy, love him.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Okay. Say it. All right, we'll roll in 3, 2, and 1. All right, it is a crossover edition of the Locked On Big 12, Locked On Horned Frogs, and Locked On Sooners podcast. As I am Josh Neighbors, it's Stephen Simcox joining me, and John Williams. Guys, we have a Big 12 tournament bracket to preview. Some people argue this. I actually want to ask you guys this first. Some people say conference championship week is almost better than the NCAA tournament. And I understand why. I'm not there, but do you guys agree? Steven, I'll go to you first. Where do you lean on this? Conference championship week or the first week of the NCAA tournament?
No, I don't agree, but I guess I see the point. Like, you get afternoon basketball on weekdays, which is fantastic. Generally, there's a couple great stories of teams that probably shouldn't be in the tournament, but are making a little bit of a run. There's buzzer beaters. So I totally get it. But to me, nothing beats like Thursday, Friday of round, I guess they call it round two now, of the NCAA tournament. But that opening weekend of games where it's just from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., you get great college basketball. I can't quite put it in that category, but it is a really good, like, week-long kind of feast of hoops.
John, what do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think nothing generates the buzz that the opening, you know, the real opening weekend of March Madness does. Like, nothing does. Like, no, I mean, not even UNC Duke at its height in the ACC generates as much buzz as the NCAA tournament does in that opening week, because, you know, everybody, even the casual basketball fan, the casual sports fan, is tuning in because they're curious what their bracket did. Everybody's going to Hooters on Thursday for lunch just so they can watch March Madness. And I mean, as much as we love the Big 12, and Big 12 is a great conference this year, and we've had a lot of really great games, it's not going to generate that type of buzz. People are not going to skip out on work to go to Buffalo Wild Wings and see what's happening in the Big 12 tournament, but they will the following week whenever it comes to March Madness.
Yeah, there's just something about it. You know, it's about that like, you know, that kind of noon period, you know, the first day of the tournament. And, you know, I love the fact that the NCAA tournament website added like that boss tab, you know, they have where it's like, you know, your boss is walking behind you at work and you click on the tab and it goes like a spreadsheet. You know, that kind of, it's just kind of the vibe and the aesthetic of that. It's great. Before we get to the Big 12 tournament, guys, the awards today for the Big 12 conference came out for the regular season for men's basketball. So your player of the year is Cade Cunningham. Your defensive player of the year is Davion Mitchell. Your newcomer of the year is Mac McClung. Your freshman of the year is, no surprise, Cade Cunningham. Your sixth man of the year is Kai Jones. Your most improved player is David McCormick. Your coach of the year is Scott Drew. And then your first team, all Big 12, is Jared Butler of Baylor, Davion Mitchell of Baylor, Austin Reeves of Oklahoma, Cade Cunningham of Oklahoma State, and Derek Culver of West Virginia. So the first place I want to start, though, is the player of the year. I think this is a weird one. Jared Butler, in my opinion, should have won it. I also, at the same time, I do believe there is an argument that right now the best player in college basketball is Cade Cunningham. So these two things are in my mind, and they conflict, and I don't know what to do with them. So Stephen and John, help me out. Stephen, go ahead. Help me out here.
Well, I agree with you, Josh. And I mean, I totally get where you're coming from. Like, Cade is the guy in this conference that can put a team on his back and get you a dub. And I wouldn't really put anybody else in that category. But I will say, Jared's been fantastic. He's the best player on the best team. And their averages are pretty similar. And I do feel like if Butler wasn't playing with Mitchell and Teague, and even guys like Flagler and Mayer weren't coming off the bench, he could average like 20 plus a game and put up similar numbers to what Cade is doing. But Cade's great. And I mean, I can't, like, I'm not banging the table here for Jared Butler. I totally understand right. Why people voted for him. I just would have given the edge to Butler instead of Cunningham because of just what he's done in winning time. And as great as Cade's been, I think Butler's the more polished, better college basketball player.
Well, you look at the last couple games for Oklahoma State, and especially against Oklahoma, Cade Cunningham really didn't have to do a whole lot in that game for Oklahoma State to come out on top. I mean, he hit some free throws down the stretch, hit a few buckets down the stretch, but was kept quiet for most of that game, and Oklahoma State was pretty well in control for a lot of it. But I tend to agree. I mean, the best player on the best team, you know, it should have gotten the award, but you know, you never know how these voters are going to vote. And Cade Cunningham, he generates a lot of buzz for the conference, and he's likely, if not, you know, the best player in the country. You know, he's probably going to be the number one overall pick whenever the NBA drafts later this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. Gabe Eichert, who, you know, I know, John, you guys have had in your podcast, work with him on Big 12 Today at Sirius, and he made a good point of saying, you know, some people in the media just don't want to be on the wrong side of Cade Cunningham, you know, like going to the NBA and being this unbelievable player, and looking back and be like, yeah, they didn't give him conference player of the year. What the hell were they thinking? You know, and, right. And I kind of understand that part of it, but you can't go wrong with either guy.
Yeah.
Like you really can't. And both will be all Americans. No doubt in my mind, both those guys are going to be consensus all Americans. And this conference, the depth is just unbelievable, because think about this. Like, we talk about the strength of Texas, right? You know, those three guards. Neither of those, you know, none of those guards showed up in the first team, right? Mac McClung, newcomer of the year. Not a guy who was a first team, you know, guy in the conference. Marcus Garrett, you know, one of the best defenders in all of the entire country, you know, not in this list. No KU guys on first team All-American, and KU is the number two seed in the Big 12 tournament. just, I think this, these lists kind of speak to almost the depth of the conference. You guys agree?
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, for Kansas, especially not to have anybody as a first team player, it kind of speaks to their down year, but I mean, they're the blue blood of the conference as far as basketball goes, if we want to ascribe that connotation to somebody. And so for them to not get anybody on a first team list or receive any awards, it just, like you said, it goes to show just how good this conference was this year, top to bottom. I mean, Baylor was the cream of the crop from start to finish, but you know, throughout the year, you had different teams creep up as that number two team, you know, West Virginia at one point, you know, finished the season that way. Oklahoma at one point was second in the conference, and Kansas has started making a run towards the end of the season. And so it's really interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see how the tournament plays out, but yeah, incredible depth, just top to bottom.
Yeah, Josh, you threw out a lot of good names there that could have gotten consideration. Also throw in like Miles McBride at West Virginia, who had a really good year. Again, you couldn't go wrong with a bunch of those selections. But as John said, I mean, it seemed like every week there was another team that you're like, oh, is this the second best team in the league? Yeah. And it's kind of wild that Kansas finished at number two, given that all year had been like, well, they just have a talent deficiency and they're not what they have been in the past. But at points, West Virginia looked great. Oklahoma State's playing as well as anybody right now. OU went on their run. So I just think the parity in the league is insane. And I really hope that the teams that make the tournament can make a little bit of the run and, you know, ensure that folks know the Big 12 is a great basketball conference and not just a bunch of evenly matched teams that kind of beat up on each other.
Yep. And down the line, I'll give it to you guys real quickly. Marcus Garrett is, Marcus Garrett's second team, Dave McCormick's second team, Andrew Jones, Mac McClung, and Miles McBride, second team. And your third team, all Big 12, was Macy O'Teague, Rasir Bolton, RJ Nemhard, Matt Coleman, Courtney Ramey, and Terrence Shannon. Your first team, all defense, Jared Butler, Davion Mitchell, Mark Vidal, three Baylor Bears on that list, Marcus Garrett, and then Gabo Saboyan is on there, which is nice to see him get some recognition. But
and now let me tell you a little bit about rockauto.com. rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything you need from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much at a storefront auto parts store when you can go to rockauto.com and save? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. And now I want to talk to you a little bit about our friends over at Country Leisure in Moore, Oklahoma. Have you ever asked yourself the question, do I really need a hot tub? Will I use a hot tub? Well, you can enhance your well-being and reduce your body aches and get closer to your family. Warm water improves general physical state, acts as a stress reducer, and improves sleep. I know that after a long day, my body is aching. A warm shower, a warm bath, it does nothing but relaxes me. If you could get that in your backyard, create your backyard oasis, would you want to do it? Well, the people at Country Leisure could get you started. Are you also looking to get into pool ownership? Well, they have been specializing in above ground pool installation for 35 years. They can get you set up in most cases in a day. In one day, you can get your pool set up. You can get your backyard oasis created. You can have relaxation at your doorstep with Country Leisure in Moore, Oklahoma. Though they're located in just in Moore, Oklahoma, they can service everywhere in Oklahoma. So whether you're in Ada and you're in Miami, you're up in Enid, you're way down south in Ardmore, they have got you covered. So contact the people at Country Leisure in Moore, Oklahoma, off of I-35 and Moore. You can call or text at 405-799-7745, or you can go to their website, countryleisuremfg.com. That's 405-799-7745. Country Leisure, just add water. And betting on the Oklahoma Sooners, betting on the NFL, betting on college basketball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude, that's where we go to now the Big 12 tournament and talk about how this thing shook out, because throughout the season, you know, I mean, Oklahoma had a stretch where they were definitely the second best team in the conference. What was it, John? Was it four straight wins against top 10 teams? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Four straight wins against top 10 teams. And they have this backslide as of late. And I'd say the Kansas State game was the one outlier where you kind of shake your head and you're like, that just can't happen. But the rest of me were close games against great teams of the conference. They find themselves playing Iowa State, which I actually think is almost a benefit. And here's why I say this, is that there were several times this year where Big 12 teams had easy parts of their schedule, and I think Kansas is the best example of this, that it let them generate some confidence and it got them going. I think Texas had a run a little bit recently that might help them in the tournament. KU had one of those runs. It might be nice for them to get off and running in the first game of the tournament against Iowa State team. That is, they've not quit. I will say this. To me, the players are not the problem on this team. That is my evaluation of Iowa State. But John, just, you know, talk about the matchup. And do you think that maybe having that game on the first day, even though OU fell so far backwards now as a set in the 7-10 matchup against Iowa State, maybe it could benefit them?
Yeah, certainly an opportunity for them to springboard back into Big 12 title contention. But they're going to have to correct a few things. I mean, in those four losses, they had considerable leads in the second half of several of those games. I mean, 10-point leads, at least in a couple of them, and they weren't able to close. Against Iowa State in two matchups they've played, Iowa State played them close. And so this is by no means a gimme game. I mean, they've got some guys on the inside that can give Oklahoma some trouble. And so if Oklahoma and Lon Kruger decide they're going to run that small lineup and they're going to have Brady Manek playing the center position, then they're going to have to get better at team rebounding. They're going to have to get better at controlling the glass and controlling the inside of the paint, because the last few games, they just haven't done that. And against Texas especially, they're really, really slow to insert Kirk Watt, who was their better defender and actually got Oklahoma back into that game against Texas. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what adjustments they've made, if any. I mean, the thing that they can hang their hat on is that they did have leads in those games. Yes, they let them slip away, but I think they can at least have confidence knowing that we've played with every team that we've come up against, even in losses. And even if it was a bad loss, we let a lead slip away. We still played with those teams. We hung with them, and we can beat them. I mean, they've proven that they can beat just about anybody in the conference. So, it could be a good opportunity for them to springboard, get their minds right a little bit, and advance in the tournament, hopefully.
Steven, do you have any thoughts on this, the first round Iowa State-Oklahoma matchup?
I think you're right. I mean, it's a chance for OU to build confidence. And, man, Iowa State is such a weird team. Like, they've taken teams to the wire, but they just can't break through and get victories. Obviously they're not very good in crunch time. And I feel like OU is going to pull away and get this done and feel pretty good about themselves rolling into a round two matchup. And if you're Iowa State, like, if they have the motivation to get out there and give it a go, God bless them. But when you just lose 18 in a row like that, I have a lot of trouble believing they're going to be able to get off the mat and put together a performance to get a victory.
Yeah, Steve Prohm appears to me not long for Ames in that job. And it's funny because I took some Twitter hate for trying to get rid of Iowa State's football coach for greener pastures. And now I'm trying to get rid of their basketball coach for not being good enough. So I'm both ways with Iowa State programs. One thing about OU real quickly, John, I thought they were at their best against Texas, especially when they were sharing the ball. And I thought that comeback was spurred on by a lot of good ball movement. In the end of games, it appears to me that Austin Reeves feels like it's on him a lot of times to go and get that basket, to make that play. I think that they need to focus on that, attacking the right matchup and sharing the basketball, because Lon is so good at attacking matchups, getting matchups and attacking them. I feel like that's what it's about for them, is not, you know, attacking the right matchup, not always going, you know, kind of going and being like Austin Reeves, it's your time now.
Yeah, and I think most people would tend to agree with that. And I think even Austin Reeves would agree with that as well. But Oklahoma just hasn't been consistent enough in the second half of basketball games shooting the ball. Even, you know, some of their best shooters, like Emojo Gibson, who's really good from deep, he's been pretty inconsistent over the last couple weeks of the season. Harkless is a streaky shooter. And then, I don't know, it's hard to say, because he'll share the ball. He'll dish it out to the open guy, but when they're not hitting their shots, then it's like, what do you do? Brady Manek is super up and down. We had an otherworldly game against Oklahoma State, but they came up short still in that one. And so, yeah, it's just really hard to say. It's hard to know what the identity of this basketball team is. I mean, Austin Reeves can carry them, but they're at their best, like you said, when he doesn't have to. When guys are hitting their shots, that's obviously when they're at their best. But I think at times, you know, he gets a little bit in his head and he's like, well, nobody else is hitting, so I got to go create something. And, you know, they do need to rely a little bit more on Davion Harmon to handle the ball for them in certain sets, because he's a really good creator off the dribble and he can get into the paint and he can finish as well. And I think that would take a little bit of the pressure off of Austin Reeves, especially in the second half of games. So we'll see what Vaughn Kruger decides to do in the tournament.
Yeah, it should be interesting. I actually floated the idea of them starting Alondis Williams and putting Mojo on the bench just to give themselves some scoring punch, you know, off the bench and maybe get Austin Reeves a break and then kind of allow Mojo to facilitate things and see if that works, him and Harmon. But
now let me tell you a little bit about BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Major League Baseball is right around the corner, and BetOnline has you covered. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts, and use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Let's move to the other first round game, TCU and Kansas State. And Stephen, there was a point down the stretch where TCU could have flipped things around and, you know, finished above 500 towards the back end of the season. I forget which game it was. I think it was that loss to Kansas State the first time, or the loss to Kansas State, excuse me, more recently. That game was just, I think, emblematic of, you know, a lot of stuff. So it seems like finding a scoring punch outside of RJ Nembhard and consistently doing so is the big issue for TCU this season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It feels like if RJ or Mike Miles can't create in like isolation situations, there's really no plan B. I really like Kevin Samuel as a post player, but they don't have the guards to get him good entry passes and give him the ball. And I think he gets frustrated when he gets down the floor and tries to get position and doesn't get chances and kind of checks out. But this has been really a problem the last few years for them, is they rely on these guards so much to create and do everything, and they don't have great shooters around them. They don't really have players that can create their own shot, and it just turns into this very bogged down, predictable offense that struggles to score. And, I mean, they try to grind out games, but eventually, you know, the other team will go on a 10-0 or a 12-2 run, and then coming back from double-digit deficits is real difficult for this group.
Yeah, what's funny about it is, you know, it's weird to think that in a game where an 8-19 team is playing a 12-13 team, that the 8-19 team is playing better than the 12-13 mm-hmm. team. But that's kind of the deal here. Like, Kansas State is shown all kinds of fight. I mean, it's been refreshing to see. Like, that's a group that in 2 or 3 years, they're going to be good because they're going to have started like 60 games. I mean, they're going to have junior kids, you know, they're going to have starting juniors who have played, you know, darn near 60 basketball games as college kids. And some of them started 55, 60 basketball games, which is going to be a great luxury for Bruce Weber. So that team clearly far away right now, but Kansas State, I actually am excited for in the future. Does anybody here, do you guys agree with me at all? Is that kind of, I know that they played, no. They beat TCU and they played OU pretty tight too. Oh, they beat OU. OU. It's BOU, yeah.
They beat OU. Yeah, they rallied, and it started with that win in Fort Worth. Like, that right. was a game where it was like, okay, TCU's going to win. This is one of the few games that they just have more talent and they'll get it done. And they were up 5 with like 3 minutes to go. And K-State started hitting some threes and locked down defensively and turned things around. So credit to Bruce Weber. I mean, that crew could have thrown in the towel a couple weeks ago and nobody would have cared. But they're playing well, and I mean, obviously, really, really tough matchup in round two, getting Baylor if they do pull off the win against TCU. But that would be a nice kind of hang your hat on season-ending victory, you know, in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, Kansas State's win against Oklahoma kind of came down to the same thing. Oklahoma was up by six with like 3 or 4 minutes left to play, and they rallied, and Oklahoma couldn't get stops and couldn't make shots. And, yeah, Kansas State's playing pretty well. I mean, they lost by 3 to Texas back on the 9th of February. And, I mean, they're playing decent basketball. I'm not going to say they're going to go on a run in the tournament, but, yeah, they're playing pretty solid right now.
And so now we move on to – because these quarterfinals, guys, I mean, there's – you know, there's two matchups that we already have on the docket that are awesome. We might get a third that's awesome. You know, if OU wins, OU Kansas is going to be much watched TV. I'm super interested in that matchup. But here's the thing. Let's start with just the one that we know is going to happen in the lower part. West Virginia, Oklahoma State round three is going to be that's my favorite game maybe of this entire tournament that might happen, because Oklahoma State just went on the road and beat West Virginia without Cade Cunningham, without Ice Likely. And this is interesting because I think West Virginia, to me, is the team outside of Baylor in the Big 12 that has the best chance to make the Final Four. And I think this because who played Gonzaga the best this year? West Virginia. Who played Baylor the best this year outside of obviously the one loss against Kansas, which I mean, I'm ready at this point to chalk that up to COVID because they look slow, and they came out, you know, a couple of nights later against West Virginia and went to overtime on the road and won the game. So I think West Virginia is the most, the group best outfitted to make a Final Four run, but they get to a rubber match on a neutral court with a team that each team's got a road win. So I'm so psyched for this game. Do you guys share my enthusiasm? Steven, I'll go to you first.
I do, yeah. And I agree with your sentiments about West Virginia. Like, I think they have a big in Culver that they can go to work. They got good guard play. They kind of play. They're not playing the press Virginia style they have in the past, but they still do play an up and down kind of wacky style that in a one-game situation could get it done. And then on the flip side, I don't want to see Cade Cunningham in my bracket either. Like, he's playing well. They got it done without him on the road, which is a pretty incredible win for that group. And I just think Mike Boyden's a really good coach. He's got that team feeling themselves right now. So that should be a very fun matchup. And those are two teams that if they go on a run in this tournament, you could be looking at some really good seeding possibilities, because that'd be impressive if they even just, you know, made the championship game and played whoever it is, probably Baylor, to a close one.
And John, before you go, there's something I want to mention, because you brought up a great point that Cade was kind of quiet in that game against Oklahoma. That manifested itself in a positive way against West Virginia when they went out there and didn't need him and they won. I think the guys around Cade, the supporting cast, they've come together in such a great way that you saw it on Saturday. They've got the horses to make a deep run that I think a lot of us didn't think they could make before.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And sometimes when your best player does take a step back and isn't trying to force everything and allowing the guys around him to make plays and he's just distributing the basketball and setting everything up, that makes everybody better. And he's been willing to do that. And I think it's a testament to him and really just the mentality that he brings to the table. I mean, he's a dog though, right? Like he brings a lot of like energy and a lot of grit to the basketball court, but also he plays with a lot of humility at the same time too. He's not out there like, I'm gonna handle the ball and I'm gonna get mine and we'll just see what happens. No, he's like, hey, it's not my night. I'm not hitting shots. I'm not getting opportunities, but my other guys are. Like, they're gonna trap me 2-on-1. That's fine. I'll kick the ball and find the open man. And I think that's what makes good players great. You know, is the guy that's willing to be okay with giving the ball up and using the rest of the team to play, you know, 4-on-3 basketball. And I think that's what's going to make him really, really good at the next level, is that mentality that he brings to the table.
I think we should have known when the stuff, you know, when all the NCAA stuff came down to Oklahoma State and he remained all in on Oklahoma State, that this was a team guy. Like, he's 2 feet in. And the same way Zion had the injury and came back, once Cade's, like, there's no thought about my future with this, you know, the ankle injury. I know it's minor, but like it's all in. He, you can tell, and he's on the bench coaching the guys up. I mean, he loves this team, and like every account of him is wonderful. I think all of us, you know, I think even you as an OU guy probably missed too, like all us Big 12 people are rooting for him at the next level because we've seen him and like just the, I mean, what a great basketball player, college basketball player to watch. He's like everything that is great about college basketball in the modern era. Like he is a one and done player who is all in on his team. And so as fans, like the 1 year Cade Cunningham has given us, I mean, how is your heart not full of joy watching this young man play basketball, guys? I just, that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at on that. All right, let's move down the bracket. So Texas Tech and Texas is the other game that we have for sure. Now, the reason I want to touch on this is because I'm sure you guys remember this. Last year, this game was scheduled to be played during the Big 12 tournament. In fact, on the same day, it was a Thursday game, and it was canceled right, you know, during that day. It was a huge game because it felt like the winner would go to the NCAA tournament. The loser would be sitting there on Selection Sunday asking a lot of questions about themselves, but how things went wrong. And in Shaka Smart's case, maybe out of a job if they didn't make the NCAA tournament. Fast forward 1 year, and these two teams are in different spots. Obviously, COVID is, I think, no team in the conference was hit by COVID and didn't recover like Texas. They have not found that form yet back again. And I know, Stephen, you got the last look at them. You guys at TCU just played them. So they're starting to find that form, but they still are not the Texas that we saw earlier in the year.
No, they're definitely not. I mean, they are playing better. And I do think kind of the softer schedule to close might help them as they go in the tournament, which is something you mentioned earlier. But it took them a while to put TCU away. And you know, we discussed the struggles the Frogs are having. You'd think with some of the firepower they have with that guard play, it would have been a much easier game for Texas. But they don't seem to have the same energy. I mean, I think they're in a better place, but that's an interesting point. I hadn't really thought about them being one of the groups that hasn't completely bounced back from that off time because, you know, they were rolling and it looked like, yeah, this is the number two team in the conference. Like, other than Baylor, they're the team to beat. And now it seems like they're kind of lumped in with a bunch of other teams up at the top that on a given night could get things done.
And on the flip side, John, against OU, that was the good version of Texas. That was them putting it together, you know, and giving up a lead, which they've done a lot, but actually responding, right? I mean, we saw them against West Virginia have a damn near a fist fight in the sidelines between, you know, between Courtney Ramey and Andrew Jones and then blowing a 19-point lead. They blew a lead and then were able to respond and win against OU. And that's the version they're trying to find here moving forward.
And I think that was a huge win for them down the stretch. It helps kind of reinvigorate that confidence that they have in them as a basketball program to be able to hold on to that lead as Oklahoma's chipping away in that game and Texas is able to, you know, hang on, do what they need to do in that game to get the win. They've got good play on the inside. You know, Steven talked about their guard play, but it was the bigs on the inside that were giving Oklahoma trouble, especially in the first half until Oklahoma made adjustments and put in a more defensive style center. And so it'll be really interesting to see, man. I think this Texas Tech matchup is probably one of my favorites early in the bracket because Mac McClung really just, I don't know, he's kind of like our Bobby Hurley of the conference, just the all grinds, you know, not a lot of, I don't know, the hustle guy.
He's more J.R. Smith to me. Okay. I feel like he's going to give them, you know, I feel like it's a roller coaster with him.
Yeah.
But he is gritty too. I mean, watching him play is a lot of fun. Yeah. Right. You know, it's just one of those players. And I guess that's kind of where I go next, you know, with this guys is that, you know, Texas Tech is, to me, they got the best coach in the conference. I think this is a guy who's been coaching an NBA team one day, without a doubt. But there is it's weird. So weird to me because their group is always compiled of usually pretty good freshmen, transfers and guys who have been there. And it's this balancing act of trying to put those guys together. And I thought their first half against Baylor looked really good. And of course their second half didn't, but I mean, Macy Oteig hit 10 threes. So, you know, what are you going to do about that? But I do think there's times where it's like too much Mac McClung. Like John, do you see that at all?
Well, I think you can do that at times with your high profile players. It can become a little too much. Like we talked about with Austin Reeves, you know, if you're not getting the rest of the team involved, I mean, yes, basketball is kind of a star-driven game, but you still got to use your guys. I mean, Michael Jordan still used his guys.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, Mike McClung, he'll hit his shots, but he also needs to start recognizing, okay, when I'm not hitting my shots, I need to be willing to distribute as well.
Steven?
Yeah, I just feel like this Tech team is typical under Chris Beard in that they're going to guard you to death, but they don't have the individual playmakers on offense to really get to that next level. And I like Mac, and I think he's solid and good, and I think Terrence Shannon can have his moments, but they just don't have that guy. And some nights it is Mike McClung that can carry you consistently on offense to make up for, you know, the fact that they are a grinded out, gritty team. They just don't have that player that's going to bail them out night in and night out. And that's been kind of the difference with this Tech team as opposed to some others under Chris Beard.
Yeah, it's they remind me a lot of Kansas, because Kansas found out a lot sooner than Tech did that, okay, we can't score, so the best version of ourselves is one that shuts everybody else down. Mm-hmm. Tech kind of found that in the Texas game that was at Tech recently, where they were able to shut, you know, they're basically able to shut Texas down. And it's like, this is the best version of this Texas Tech team. And so I think it's interesting to see if they can use that moving forward in the tournament. Here's what's interesting, and just kind of from a broad perspective as we come at this tournament, I think Baylor's going to win it. Baylor just won. Guys, the stretch that Baylor just played, they played at KU last Saturday, lose game, bounce back and have to go all the way to Morgantown and win in overtime without Jared Butler, who fouled out of the game. They made their last six shots. Then they have to come home and play Oklahoma State, who by all accounts is the second best team in the conference right now. And then come home and play a Texas Tech team that's playing pretty well. And they blew them out of the water in the second half. I think everybody else in the conference has benefited from playing Baylor, because now they can all say, who the hell are we going to play that's better than those guys? I mean, who is OU going to play that's better than them? Who is Texas going to play that's better than them? I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of the beauty of Baylor, but you know, we assume that because of conference rules, normally a lot of these teams are going to be away from Baylor in the NCAA tournament. So they can now basically say, look, no opponent we're going to face is better than these guys. Steven, do you agree with this theory, or am I blowing smoke?
I think there's something to that. I mean, yeah, they look like, I mean, splitting hairs with Gonzaga, but they look like the most complete team in the nation. And they're so deep. They can come at you in so many different ways. They're very, very good defensively, and they're just motivated too. Like, I think they're a really good team that has never been at this level before. So they're not going to have lapses and off nights. I mean, aside from that comeback from COVID, they've really taken care of their business and it hasn't been close. So I do believe, you know, some of the teams like Tech and Oklahoma State, that pushed them a little bit, they got to feel like, hey, if we can hang around for a half plus with that Baylor team, then we're going to have a pretty good chance against anybody else in the nation.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it's just going to depend on seeding. I mean, cause if, and some of these mid majors, you just never know which of the mid majors is going to jump up and go on that run. So I think as good as the Big 12 has been, and as talented as each of these teams are, they can't sleep on anybody. Because like we've seen the last half of the season, I mean, anybody's been able to beat anybody in the Big 12. I mean, nobody's been really, except for Baylor, has been able to assert themselves as like the dominant team. Kansas has probably had the best run towards the end of the season. But yeah, they can't sleep. I mean, especially Oklahoma. I mean, you're on a 4-game losing streak. If you get into the tournament, hopefully you do get into the tournament, you know, you're not going to be able to sleep on anybody because you haven't been playing your best basketball. And I think a lot of the Big 12 could say that, like every matchup's going to matter, and they're not going to be able to take anybody lightly, even though they've had the benefit of playing one of the best teams in the nation in Baylor.
All right, guys, so let's get a couple predictions here before we get out of here. So John, I'll go to you first. What is your Big 12 championship game? Who wins, and who is your Big 12 tournament MVP? So I can go first and make it a little easier on you guys. All right, I can go first. My Big 12 tournament championship game is going to be Texas against Baylor, and I'm gonna have Baylor winning, but I think Texas is a on a neutral floor, I think they are better than Texas Tech. Also, this is going to require Texas Tech beating Texas three times in the same season. That is difficult, very difficult to do. I do not think it's going to happen. So neutral floor, I like Texas in this one against them. And then also, Texas is a nightmare matchup for Kansas. A nightmare matchup. Actually, they're a nightmare matchup for Kansas and OU, who are the two teams they could play because, you know why? Texas has size, and those two teams, you know, relatively speaking, do not. Also, Texas variety is what gives Kansas trouble. They've beaten them twice this year, so I'm with Texas on this one. And then in the championship game, Baylor, I think, outduels Texas, probably wins by 12 points. And I was going to say Mark Vidal. It's not possible. I want it to happen, though. We all want Mark Vidal to get some recognition or something. Let's go with Davion Mitchell as your tournament MVP. Let's go with that. All right, John, you're up.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Baylor, Kansas. I think Kansas is reasserting themselves as that team to beat in the conference. I think they're going to go on a run. And yeah, it's going to be like it's supposed to be. Kansas in the Big 12 championship game, kind of like it was for Oklahoma in football during the fall. And I think it's going to be Jared Butler as the tournament MVP after Baylor wins the Big 12 championship.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll go Baylor, Kansas as well. And I do have Baylor winning it. I feel like they're just, you know, I heard Scott Drew after that Tech game say that they've never won the Big 12 tournament before. So this is just kind of another thing they want to cross off the list. And I won't copy John. So I'll say Macy O'Teague has a big shooting weekend and ends up taking that MVP trophy.
You know, what's hilarious, guys, is that, you know, the guys who recognize in the awards are Davion and Jared. And the guy who wasn't recognized just scored 35 points and went 10 for 12 from three. Yeah. And it's like, these guys are horrifying. I mean, who wants to, I mean, this is why it's like, you know, I know everybody loves Gonzaga, but Baylor's just as good as they are. Like they are just as good as they are. One final question, guys. Who is the Big 12 team right now going into the NCAA tournament outside of Baylor that you guys feel most comfortable about saying, yeah, Sweet 16, we're going to see them. We're going to see the same Sweet 16 and possibly beyond that. Who is a team that you're like, I can basically say pretty confidently they're a second weekend team. I'll go to Steven first on this one.
Yeah, I'll say Oklahoma State just because the way they're playing right now. I'm going to go on a limb and say Cade plays. And I also feel like the tournament committee might help them out with some seeding to make sure that Cade.
You think ratings might go up with Cade Cunningham involved?
Yeah. You know, like John knows that year that Trey Young got in the tourney. I was like, oh, you probably shouldn't have been in, but – we got to put Trey Young in the tourney. So I feel like they might make sure Cade gets a good shot at getting to the second weekend.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. They're gonna find a way to make it beneficial for Oklahoma State and Cade Cunningham. We actually talked about that recently on our podcast because Oklahoma State should actually be or is actually under investigation, but the NCAA is kind of sitting on that, it seems, for tournament purposes. But we won't talk about that much more.
That's good for the conference, John. It's great for the conference. Okay. Yeah,
David and I, we are not Big 12 homers like they are in the SEC, or they'll chant SEC. We're not going to be chanting Big 12 on the sidelines here. But I think for me, I'm going to go with West Virginia. They're just one of those teams that they've got, I don't know, they have a lot of strong tools. They play good defense. They can score at times, and they've got a good big. And you got to be able to play multifaceted in the tournament to be able to win. And just have a lot of experience as well on the sideline. And so I think it's going to be a team that is going to get to the Sweet 16. And I here's a bold prediction for you. I think we're going to have four Big 12 teams in the Sweet 16. I don't know if it's that bold.
Who are the four? Do you have ideas?
Yeah, we go Baylor, Kansas, West Virginia, Oklahoma State.
Okay.
I think it's going to be three, probably. I think it's going to be Baylor, West Virginia, and one of Oklahoma State or Texas is going to make it, in my opinion. So here's my pitch for Texas, is that there, in theory, there is no place where Texas is weak. They've got good bigs. Well, they can't shoot free throws. That's the one problem for them. But but they've got good bigs. They've got three really good guards. Like Andrew Jones, Courtney Ramey, and Matt Coleman are all three very good guards. And they've got an X factor. Greg Brown is an X factor for me. This guy's a five-star kid. He is a classic stretch four. Like the definition, when they created stretch four, Greg Brown's a guy. And there's some games where he scores 2 points, goes one for, you know, eight, and they can still win. But if they can be a Final Four team if he plays well, but he doesn't play well every single night. But can he play well enough to get the Sweet 16? Yes, he can. So for the sake of being different, I will say Texas is mine, but I'm with you, John. So West Virginia is my squad. I that's kind of who I'm trending towards here. All right, guys, it's time to plug our various outlets. So John, you go first. Plug your podcast for the folks who are on the Locked On Horned Frogs, who are listening via there, and then also Locked On Big 12.
Yeah, so you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on Facebook, Locked On Sooners Podcast, and on Instagram at Locked On Sooners. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams and my partner, Dave Walker, at D_Walk74.
Steven.
You can follow Locked On Horned Frogs on Twitter at Locked On TCU. And you can follow me at Simcox Steven. And you might say, Steven, why is your last name first? Because I created Twitter when I was in high school and I didn't think anybody would ever have a reason to follow me. So there you go.
You can follow me at Josh_Neighbors. You can follow the show at LO_Big 12. Fellas, this was fun. I am psyched for this Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
So much fun.
Maximum fun. That's what we're looking for this week. All right. We'll talk to you guys next time.